Southeastern Baptist Seminary, January 27, 1988. Our speaker today in chapel is Dr. Bland.
come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Let us worship God.
It's good to be able to celebrate, not only in singing, but also to celebrate as a community. And this morning we're celebrating the birth of two young daughters into our community. Scott and Carol Boyd had a daughter born on the 20th of January. Her name is Marissa Lynn, and she weighed 8 pounds and 4 ounces. And then on the 25th, a daughter was born to Paul and Barbara Hill. Her name is Paula Lynn. And if I understand correctly, she was 10 pounds and 5 ounces. So she has certainly entered into our midst. There are many concerns that you are aware of, that I am aware of. There are several families in our community that are in distress. some very private concerns. You know of some of those. You know of some that I don't know. But we are grateful that our Lord knows of all of them. So let's go to God and remember those. Oh God, we give you thanks that your story is told again and again, that hope comes in the birth of a child. We thank you for these two new lives that have been entrusted not only to these parents, but to our community. Help us to be responsible with the lives set before us while we have them here, that we may teach love as you loved, that we may tell the story in ways that will set people free and set them in the cycle of loving that spreads the story from age to age. We also remember the part of the story of the suffering, the pain that doesn't seem to escape us. And in that part of the story, we remember those around us, those that are hurting, those that feel despair, those that are confused. Heal our iniquities. Heal our pain. Heal our brokenness. That the story may resound again and again. Not just from our lips, but from our lives. And so we ask these things and other concerns that we have in the name of the source of our story, Jesus Christ. Amen.
The world on fire.
Very well, very well.
Then stars have fallen.
Very well, very well.
Then you see that forked lightning.
Very well, very well.
Then you hear that rumbling thunder.
Very well,
very well. Very well, poor sinner.
I want to acknowledge that this looks more like a Randall Lolly crowd than it does a Tom Bland crowd. I had nothing to do with keeping the secret that I was to speak this morning, and those of you who came expecting to hear Dr. Lolly, I'm glad you're here anyway. And may God help us all to have an experience of worship which will be meaningful. Here begins the first chapter of the letter to the Romans. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, the gospel concerning his son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and designated Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations, including yourselves, who are called to belong to Jesus Christ, to all God's beloved in Rome, who are called to be saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I mention you always in my prayers, asking that somehow, by God's will, I may now at last succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that I have often intended to come to you, but thus far been prevented, in order that I may reap some harvest among you, as well as among the rest of the Gentiles. I am under obligation, both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who has faith, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For it is the righteousness of God, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed through faith, for faith, as it is written, the one who through faith is righteous shall live. Here the lesson ends, and may we receive this word of the Lord this day. I want to invite you to look beyond the immediate concerns of this day to the responsibilities of this hour and of the hours of this day, to look back in your life to all that has brought you to this time, and to consider with me why it is that you are here, and let us together explore the meaning of our journey here in the light of God's eternal purpose. In order to get this larger vision of what it is we're about, I have turned this morning to a very autobiographical passage in the life of Paul, who was ready now to go to Rome. There is a word in the 15th verse that is translated variously in different English versions. The Authorized King James Version says, "I am ready to preach the gospel to you who also are in Rome." The Revised Standard Version, from which I have read, says, "I am eager to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome." And another translation says, "I am willing to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome." I want us to think together in these moments about readiness to preach, for I am assuming that whatever particular vocation we may find in the ministry of Christ's church, that we all are proclaimers, we all are preachers, and therefore we need to get in touch not only with ourselves, but with our message and our motivation, and affirm today that we are excited, that we are eager to be on with the task. Paul was eager because he had some good news he wanted to share. He said, "I want to share the good news, which is in Jesus Christ, the gospel concerning God's Son. This Son who in his earthly experience was descended from David according to the flesh, fully human. This Son who in the purpose of God has been designated Son of God in power according to the Spirit by which he has been raised from the dead. I have some good news about God who creates, who judges, whose wrath is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness, but whose love reaches out and who in the relationship of faith will call those who respond in faith to realize that there is therefore now no condemnation in Christ Jesus, whose love can bring us to the realization that in Christ there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God, neither life nor death nor things past nor things present nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor anything that is created will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Good news that though the wages of sin is death, the gift of God is eternal life. Good news that every principality and power that raises itself in contradiction to the sovereignty of God will submit either in confession or in judgment to the reality that Jesus Christ is Lord. We have, as Paul had, some good news that we ought to be eager to share. I don't know how it is in your life, but there have been times in my life when I have been able to identify with Jeremiah in more ways than one. I certainly have been able to identify with him when he said, "God, I'm going to quit. Here's my resignation. You get another boy. I'm tired of telling your word and being made a laughing stock." And then Jeremiah said, When I said this, the word of God became in me as a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I was weary with holding it in, and I could not. When that happens, when something like that happens to you or to me, we're ready to preach. I am here today to say, on behalf of the world out here, let's not be so preoccupied with the furor of ecclesiastical politics that we forget why it is we're here in the first place. We are here to prepare and to get on with the task of the proclamation of the saving good news of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul said, I've been out in the provinces, and there I have had opportunity to witness the effect of that for which God called me. I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. I'm a bond slave of Jesus Christ. I have been set apart for the gospel of God, and I have been commissioned. I have been sent forth to proclaim that word in the world. What was for Paul a very deep awareness that God, in his unsearchable and inscrutable wisdom and grace, had laid his hand on Paul, should be the possession of every one of us here today, in not the same way as Paul, but in some uniquely personal way. For this cause came I forth. God has sent me on this mission for this purpose. Paul was eager to preach because of what he had received. He had received the grace of God, which had liberated him from the legalism of his Jewish background. He had received a vision of a world redeemed, which had caused him to go beyond the confines of Judaism. He had received apostleship, though he always had to defend the fact that he had not known Jesus in the flesh. He said, nevertheless, I may be the least of the apostles, but I am an apostle. I've been sent forth. In that sense, every one of us here today should be able to claim that we are messengers. We are those sent forth with the word of God. Paul also was eager to preach because of his preparation. He doesn't say a great deal about this here. He does allude to his work out in the provinces, and he's not one bit intimidated by the fact that Rome beckons, because he's prepared. God has been getting him ready. Paul had a unique preparation, as indeed every servant of God does. In Paul's case, his Hebrew ancestry, his acquaintance with Greek culture, his Roman citizenship, and his experience with the living Lord were parts of his preparation. I believe to the very depths of my existence that God can use every experience you have had or I have had, good, bad, indifferent. Every experience can be used to bring glory to Christ and to prepare us for the ministry to which he's called. I hope you will not lose sight of the fact that a part of your preparation is the daily grind that goes on this campus in the struggle with the subject matter to which you must address yourself. That's a part of the preparation. God wants people to be his proclaimers who are prepared. Moreover, Paul said, I want to come to Rome and preach the gospel there because I'm obligated. I am in debt, hopelessly in debt. I'm living in the red. I'm in debt to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. I am a debtor. That should be a motivation to send us forth to be proclaimers. The gospel came to us not only through the grace of God, but through the obedient response of faithful witnesses who brought it to us. Teachers, pastors, parents, others along the way who shared with us the great good news in Jesus Christ. And in this world, on this planet Earth, we are obligated to one another in the way by which we should be motivated to be eager to proclaim the good news. At the height of Paul's autobiographical detail is the acknowledgement that he was proud of what God had to offer through him. It is the familiar words of the 16th verse, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not disappointed in it. I'm proud of it. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who has faith, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Let us be reminded that Paul is looking forward to going to the most powerful city in the ancient world. He's going to the very center of power. And he says, "I am in touch with power that is greater than Caesar's power. I am in touch with the power that is greater than the empire's power. It is the power of God, the good news, which is God's message of salvation. Caesar's power and the empire's power were often destructive powers, usually coercive powers. Paul had touch with power that would bring wholeness, that would bring shalom, that would bring peace, that would bring healing. You and I are in touch with that power. God help us that we shall be eager, ready, willing to go anywhere, anytime, to proclaim this great good news. Not being intimidated by the power, either in church or state, but knowing that there is power to bring salvation. I hope you are eager to preach the gospel. God bless you as you do it. Let us stand. O God, in whose presence the cherubim and the seraphim continually cry, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." Deliver us this day from the presumption of coming into your presence and believing that we go out of your presence. Be with this company of your people and with each of us on our journey today. Help us to lift up our hearts and rejoice that you have called us, that you are equipping us, and that you are sending us forth to be proclaimers of the blessed gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we all pray. Amen.